Forget whatever plans you have this weekend because you're staying at home and playing on SpinQuest. And there's never been a better time to sign up than right now. New users get $30 coin packs for just $10. All the table games you love with hundreds of slot games and real cash prizes. That's at SpinQuest.com. SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
What's up, everybody? It's Bretzky, and America is turning 250. And I can't think of a better way to celebrate that than playing on an American-owned social casino, SpinQuest.com. With all of your favorite games, live craps, bubble craps, live blackjack, there's no better place to play for free and win real cash prizes. SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
This is Hidden Tillers Live with Tony Bruschi and Robin Drake.
The public has largely consumed the Nancy Guthrie case as a who took her mystery, but another possibility hangs over the investigation. What if the public-facing narrative itself is misleading? The ransom notes may be noise. The camera tampering may have been partially performative. The offender behavior may not align with the motive people assume. And sometimes in cases like this, the most dangerous thing investigators face is not a lack of evidence. It's evidence pointing in conflicting directions at once. We were just talking about Kash Patel. We were talking about Nanos. We were talking about almost the statements that Kash has made publicly on Hannity's podcast about if they had been brought in a little bit sooner. To me, it almost, like I said, puts other departments on notice to a certain extent of, hey, if you got something that you can't handle, you better call us so we can get in there. I guess the question I have on some of that going forward with other departments is, does speaking out like that, does that encourage other departments to call the FBI for assistance, or does that make them go, maybe we better off just handling this in-house without the extra noise and the extra chaos coming in, although be it well-intentioned with, you know, the actual investigators on the ground, you know, sometimes, I mean, it does feel like you got chaos here and you got chaos there. And if you're already, let's say there's a department that is operating in a very fruitful way, I don't know that this is, you know, if you're the person making a decision going, let me call that guy. He seems like he'll be here to help. I don't know. Does that encourage or discourage, you think, other departments should they be facing something of similar nature?
Well, it better encourage them.
Yeah.
Because what lessons from Delphi, what lessons from this case, even from Idaho, in actually a pretty positive way.
Yeah.
Right. The lesson learned there was, listen, you had 60 agents on that and stateies on it. You had everyone involved in that case. And in 5 weeks, they nabbed this guy that would have never been. I mean, he was unusual, right? He shouldn't have been on the radar. PhD student, unrelated to the victims, lived in another state, blah, blah. But they put it all together, and they put it all together quick, but they were involved on day one. And same with the state police. Moscow didn't say, oh, I think our crime scene people can handle it. I understand Moscow is smaller than Pima County, and I'm not trying to put down Pima County. I'm just saying, if you can have it all, why aren't you having it all?
Yeah.
The president was literally on television on his Air Force One talking about the Nancy Guthrie case and how they have the full breadth of resources from the FBI. If I'm a sheriff, I'm like, perfect, because I'm going to look really good when this is solved. It doesn't matter that the FBI solves it or you aided in solving it. That is the piece. I still say any missteps or misjudgments from us looking in by Sheriff Nanos are strictly because of ego, not because of incompetence. I don't even think he's incompetent. Mm-hmm. I just, his ego got too big.
Yeah, I mean the two can play hand in hand, and one can destroy the other. The ego can destroy the competence, or severely stain it. Another element to this that has been discussed is because we all keep looking at this damn thing, and we're like, what's going on here? There's something just doesn't make sense. And you have to, at some point, now that we're 5 minutes in, go, am I looking at this wrong? Are the blocks that I have in place in my head from my understanding of this case, is there something that's not what it appears to be? And now the discussion is kind of going to, well, are there elements of this that are staged? Is there a staged narrative? And I'm in no way going down conspiracy routes here by any means. I'm talking about whoever the perpetrator is, did they take steps to essentially lead investigators down another path? What are your thoughts on that? Is there any elements here? Is there anything you're saying that I'm not or others are not that leads you down that road in any way, shape, or form where, you know, objects here in the rear view mirror may be closer than they appear?
Well, I want to preface this by saying what I mean by staged. Do I think Nancy was killed someplace else? No. Do I think Nancy was, you know, somehow brought back to the scene so her pacemaker could connect with the phone and, you know, thus make it look like she was abducted? I really don't. Do I think the doors were kept open to show perhaps multiple people that would have entered or something like that? I do think that's possible. Uh-huh. So I think certain things could have been partially staged. I know that there is a lot of talk out there about could she not have even been abducted? You know, that the whole thing is just a big menagerie.
Huh? What is this one? What walk me down that road.
Oh, this is an interesting one. It's interesting because it comes from somebody who is well-respected.
Okay.
And the thought process is this, is that Nancy was killed someplace else. Nancy, this whole abduction thing is a bunch of baloney. Porch guy is baloney. In other words, that's why he's, you know, it's all just a play. And that they, you know, killed her someplace else. Obviously, they would have had to bring her back or otherwise have her blood droplets to drop on the porch. So maybe not bring her back, blood droplets on the porch. Basically, that the whole thing is staged.
For what? Why? How?
For murder. That they murdered her separately. That was the motive. The motive was murdered. And then to cover up the murder, they staged this abduction to get everybody down the road of this being an abduction when it's not. It's a cover for a murder.
Is this down the road of, because I haven't gone down a lot of roads that get kind of weedy. Is this one of those where it points at family members or something like that? Is that, or because I'm trying to understand, and I'm in no way am I blaming a family man. I do not believe that whatsoever. But I'm wondering, okay, they dropped her off that night. I mean, there's the garage door, all that stuff. I mean, there's evidence that she was home. She connected to, you know, the app and everything. Is it something in that vein where they never dropped her off or something? Is that where that goes?
I think it's certainly in the vein that it's somebody very close to the family that would have been involved. But I'm just saying that's certainly out there when you're looking at what is in the ether. It's in the ether, and it's an interesting thought. I just, you know,
How would that play out if without a family member being involved? I mean, if she was dropped off, she was out, they were playing cards. I mean, where would they have abducted her from that night? Or am I off on that too? If this were to play out where it wouldn't involve a family member,
I think the only way for that scenario to play out is for a family member to be involved.
Okay, so that's one of the theories that are out there. Okay, yeah.
But I mean, think about this, Tony, and I will say this. It is so incongruent. This guy on the porch with his holster in his crotch, big gloves, you know, lumbering around. That's the problem with this case, is it does not comport with any other kidnapping that you would.
It doesn't.
See, that's
no. It doesn't. And I mean, I'm just thinking about that for a second, because this is the first time I've really absorbed that one. So like my wheels are turning on it. You would have to essentially, I don't even know how this plays out. Like what is she accidentally dies again? If she accidentally dies, why would you be doing this? So let's for a second say somebody killed her and then we got to blame it on somebody else because we don't want to take the blame. So then what? You suddenly have all of the gear to make it look like you're going to kidnap her? Quick, let's get on our kidnapping outfit and show up on the porch so it looks like this. I mean, again, it's just like step by, like, yeah, that's why I've never gone down the road, because you do and it's like, no, it just doesn't add up. Again, you've been down this far deeper than I have. Mm-hmm. What other crazy ones are out there right now? And I'm not trying to give light to them, but I'm curious as to where people's minds are going on this.
I mean, I would say that is probably the biggest one, and this is what has people wondering.
Yeah,
they believe that because nothing has been released. Mm-hmm. But again, you know, the public isn't entitled to all this information.
No.
They believe that because there's no footage, if you will, they don't have anything showing that she was dropped off. They have the garage door that goes up, this 2-minute time frame that's been disclosed where she goes in. And it's, in my view, it's totally reasonable. I mean, you know, I can't make any sense of why people don't believe. For instance, people are upset because there's an Uber driver that took her to Tommaso's in Annie's house that night. Mm-hmm. To me, that makes total sense. If I'm the one, like, we're all family, and I said, listen, I'm in the middle of making, you know, ravioli and Caesar salad and blah, blah, blah. I've got a child at home. Listen, mom, Uber over. It's $5.
Yeah.
And I bet you anything, Nancy insists on it when she goes over there. Mm-hmm. That's my thought. So people want to extrapolate. Okay, the Uber thing is weird. I personally don't find that weird at all.
I don't either. I don't either. And I think it's a matter of if you use Uber or not.
He takes her home, Tony. By himself takes her home. So if you're the mastermind behind this whole thing, you're going to be the one that becomes the last person to purportedly see her.
Yeah. I mean, none of it adds up. And again, I mean, and they've checked the family. It just doesn't, but I get you, people are trying to fill in blanks. I mean, there's responsible ways of doing it and there's irresponsible ways of doing it. There's just some roads that just don't add up, to make a whole lot of sense. Anyway you push it.
And Occam's razor. Yeah. The guy comes, he does surveillance. He apparently did surveillance on the 11th and on the 31st. He's ready to do the hit. He's not comfortable with firearms, but he wants to have a firearm there. Not because he can't get an 84-year-old to comply, but I think because he's in there doing his best impersonation of Rambo. He gets all gillied up in really what is more of a costume than what you normally see somebody in. And he doesn't even Rambo in there. He's not going in there like most home predators, invaders. No, he's comfortable. He knows he's going to get caught. I think he has somebody else because there's that two-way radio sending out the antenna. And then watch him as he looks off to the left, freeze frame that. I've got like 6 freeze frames where he's like, you know, to me, there's somebody over there. And then they walk around the house, possibly go in through 2 separate doors. They leave those doors open. They go snatch her. They don't bother to close them. And they whisk her off through the front door, which is pre-planned. The other guy is in the car. They gag her, put a hood over her face, carry her out. She's dripping blood because her skin is like crepe paper because she's on you know, all the different medication, the blood thinners. They throw her in the trunk. And when they get to their destination, they're like, oh my God, she died.
Surprise.
Yeah. I mean, that is the Occam's razor notion. And now they're pissed. There's no way to get any money. And they put out those two notes, not to family. They don't go there with a ransom note. If you want money, you go there with a ransom note and you leave it for likely Annie and Tommaso to find.
Yeah.
When she, you know, it's not law enforcement. Family is going to go there first. They're not going to immediately think, oh, mom didn't show up at church, her church meeting. I guess that means she's dead.
Yeah. Is there anything, and we'll wrap on this, if you were running this investigation, Jennifer, right now, what, based on what we know, what would you be doing? Where would you be taking this? Is there anything that they have right now that you would say, put this out into the public? This can only help. This can't hurt. What direction would you be going here with this?
I am so glad you asked that. First of all, number one, and I've said this before, all those flipping billboards would have Porch Guy's face on it. I think they're around 25 or something like that. All of them, I would flip them. I'd have Porch Guy on them. Number two, I would run a ridiculous flyer campaign in the Tucson area. I would have, if I were in the FBI, I would say, listen, we are printing up a million of these flyers. I want them on every grocery store, every tree pole, every barbershop, every place in the Hispanic community. Everything would be in both English and in Spanish. And I would blitzkrieg trying to figure out who Porch Guy is. That would be number one, blitzkrieg. Mm-hmm. Number two, when it comes to the DNA, as far as I know, and maybe they have finally went back, but I don't think so. They never took the doormat. I would get one of my agents and I would have ERT go there and preserve that doormat, even though it's been trampled and ruined and everything else, because you never know if there is some DNA from the perpetrator on there. I know it's too late. I know it's 3 months, but at least you try it. I would definitely grab that doormat and any other doormats, because if those doors were propped open, they likely came in through them. And people have things like mud on their shoes, hairs from their dog, a crumb from their, you know, croissant that they had that morning. I would go back and grab all of that. I still don't understand how that wasn't done. So I would grab that. Those stick out to me as far as the DNA. I like the fact that ABC reported they're at 5 different labs. That's where it should be. There should be multi-labs tasked with this. And I still don't think everybody should get excited about this hair, because hairs are transient.
Yeah.
But you never know. They could get lucky there. But that's, I mean, I would jump on Porch Guy. That's their best lead. And obviously, I would still be tracking that backpack. I know everybody says, oh, there's millions of them that were sold. They still originated at Walmart.
Yeah.
Still be hunting that down.
I'm surprised. I mean, I am surprised by the amount of things that and roads that could have been gone down or probably have been gone down that I guess have been, as far as we're aware in the public, have led to nowhere, that have led to nowhere, with like the backpack, things of that nature. But obviously there's back channel ways of getting things without having a receipt from Walmart. But I don't know that this is someone, I don't know. I mean, my conjecture would be that I don't know if this is someone who really thought well enough to get it through a back channel way and didn't just go to Walmart and buy it. You know, as we see with so many of these cases, it's the shopping history that gets them.
Every one of those sold in that Tucson-ish area. Every one. And I would put my analysts on it and I'd say, you're tracking this backpack until you figure out the end user. And you're calling them, and the end user's like, oh, yeah, I got it right here. I would be doing that. That might lead to him. It's always, this is how it works behind the scenes. It really does. You take what nugget you have and you run it. And I'm sure that's what they're doing, and it's taking forever. How about the video, Tony? I would put a huge emphasis on that video. I'd take a 2-hour time frame, see where the people could get from 2:20 or 2:30. 2:29 in the morning, and do a huge radius And I would also geofence the choke points for those. I'm sure they're doing this. They got to be doing it.
Let's hope they are. And if not, here's some instructions on what you should do.
Listen, it's not rocket science, but it is time behind the tiller, Tony.
It is.
When you do it for years and years. You just like whatever it is, you become good at it.
And that's what I wonder about with this. And I know we've talked about it. Me and Robin have talked about it. Robin's out, by the way, today. His daughter's getting married. He'll be back on Monday. Is the old guard? Is the fact that this case is stalling? Is this also a symptom of the fact that there are so many newer folks in here, and the old guard that you had, Robin had, so many folks had, to help show the ropes, to help, get you to become the old guard, eventually to work your way into that position. Are they just not there anymore? And are there too many folks that are just inexperienced? Not that there's anything wrong with not having experience, but they just don't have the extra folks with those extra reps in there that may be thinking around along some of these lines for more creative ways of diving into an investigation.
I think that's for sure part of it. If you look at this one, we know that the local entity that was put on it, the local detective, had 6 months experience. So he's just a self-check. He doesn't have the amount of time. Then you look on the bureau side, and all I'm going to tell you is after 9/11, what happened was you had this huge shift from criminal, organized crime, violent crime investigators that all were forced to shift to work counterterrorism. That is not violent crime. That's not, you're really, it's more of an intelligence type role. You're trying to get informants at mosques. You're trying to make sure this country's safe from bad actors, international terrorists, right? A total complete shift to actually boots on the ground doing cases against bad, violent criminals. Now you have this new shift, right? They're trying to get back to that. They're tired that the gangs have taken over and their street crime. But now you don't have that guard that were raised under all the violent crime guys.
Yeah.
Real retired 2016-ish. And now you have the people that are really good at counterterrorism. I think no time behind the tiller in some of these cases. I'll give you the case in point here. Why didn't they go up on the roof to check? I told you my story about how I knew, how I learned my lesson about how you have to check roofs.
Yeah.
Not one person had an issue and knew to check a roof. So now they know. I guarantee all those case agents would be like, let's check the roof.
Yeah. And it's, I'm not trying to say anything disparaging. It's just, you don't have the reps. You don't have the reps. You gotta get them. It takes time. And that's the only thing that does is time and experience. And I believe, people are trying to do their best, but when that element is missing, then it does, you don't have, the full strength of what that investigation could be theoretically. Hopefully if nothing else, this gives a lot of agents some reps for other investigations that they go on. Fascinating conversation as always. Jennifer Coffendaffer, check out her podcast, Break the Case, her YouTube channel, Break the Case. She's talking about this all the time, has gone far more in depth than we just did in this 1 hour. There's hours and hours and hours of you breaking this down. So go and check that out with Jen on Break the Case. Definitely worth your time to do that. Give us your thoughts in the comment section on Substack and YouTube. We'd love for you to weigh in. Until next time, for Jen, for Todd, and for Robin, I'm Tony Bruschi. We'll talk again real soon.
Want more on this case and others? Then press subscribe now and don't miss a moment of true crime coverage from Tony Bruschi and the Hidden Killers podcast.
Hey everybody, Lady Luck here, and we're celebrating America's 250th birthday. Now, all summer long, I'm going to be celebrating by playing on SpinQuest.com, which is an American-owned social casino. It obviously features over 1,000 slot games and live blackjack, live craps, live bubble craps. Head on over to SpinQuest.com. Get yourself a $30 coin pack for just 10 bucks.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Oh, I have had no luck lately. Wait. Lady Luck?
Bretsky, I got you. I've had so much luck on SpinQuest.com. They have all of my favorite games, slot games, live blackjack craps, and bubble craps. You can even get a $30 coin pack for just 10 bucks.
10 bucks for 30? I'm headed over to SpinQuest.com right now.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Hey, everybody. Lady Luck here. And we're celebrating America's 250th birthday. Now, all summer long, I'm going to be celebrating by playing on SpinQuest.com, which is an American-owned social casino. It obviously features over 1,000 slot games and live blackjack, live craps, live bubble craps. Head on over to SpinQuest.com. Get yourself a $30 coin pack for just 10 bucks.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Hanging out at the pool is great. Relaxing and playing Vegas-style games on my phone at the same time. Drink in one hand and a blackjack in the other. It's all at SpinQuest. Over 1,000 games, including your favorite slots and table games. Be cool with this summer special. New players get $30 coin packs for 10 at SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
You know what? It sucks to be bored. But when I get on my phone and play real casino games on SpinQuest.com, the time flies by. That two-hour wait at the DMV seems like 10 minutes. Play your favorite slots, live blackjack, live craps, with a live dealer. New players' $30 coin packs are on sale for 10 bucks. Play SpinQuest.com and you'll never be bored again.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Hey everybody, Lady Luck here, and we're celebrating America's 250th birthday. Now all summer long, I'm going to be celebrating by playing on SpinQuest.com, which is an American-owned social casino. It obviously features over 1,000 slot games and live blackjack, live craps, live bubble craps. Head on over to SpinQuest.com, get yourself a $30 coin pack for just 10 bucks.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Hanging out at the pool is great. Relaxing and playing Vegas-style games on my phone at the same time. Drink in one hand and a blackjack in the other. It's all at SpinQuest. Over 1,000 games, including your favorite slots and table games. Be cool with this summer special. New players get $30 coin packs for 10 at SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.